That'll just be the name of this episode, even though it has nothing to do with magic and science. People be like,
feminism. Didn't think about that one, did you? Had to get you to listen.
So now that you're here, and it's like one of those, like, you know.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of 10 Minutes to Change. I'm so excited because we're talking about everything International Women's Day related. We're hosted by Michaela, and she does an amazing job of asking us questions, and we talk about the women in our communities and the ways that they lift us up, to debunking the term women with an X, to defining what feminism really is. We also celebrate our own personal achievements, from getting up at 6 a.m. to do yoga for mental health, listening to podcasts about saying fuck you to diet culture, acknowledging our feelings, talking about toxic positivity, and more. I want you to get excited for this episode, so let's get into it. But before, I just want you to remember that we're all strong, we're all worthy, and don't forget, fuck the patriarchy.
All right, so welcome everybody. I'm super excited to be leading the discussion this week and talking about International Women's Day and Women's History Month, which is the month of March, and International Women's Day falls on March 8th every single year. So I've brought some questions to the group that I'm really excited to ask all of you, and we'll just take it from there. So the first question that I have here is, what does being a woman mean to you? And does anyone want to start?
Okay, I'll start.
I was like, I can jump in.
Making this so hard. This was like one of my hardest questions. I was looking at this today and I was like, oh my God, I have no idea. But yeah, I actually don't feel like I know what it means to be a woman. I identify as, like, she, her, identify as a woman, but I'm still figuring it out. And I think I've also realized I'm only 24 years old. And so I think that my definition of what a woman means will change along my lifetime. And I also think that there can't be one definition or standard or expectation for what being a woman means, because it's unique to everybody that identifies that way. But I think for myself, it's kind of not fighting the things that come inherently natural to me. And what I mean by that is my feelings. I think I'm a very emotionally sensitive person. I think a lot. I kind of overanalyze things sometimes. And for a while, I thought something was wrong with me. I thought that that was a weakness. But I think I've been able to look at it in a different light and use it to my advantage, whether it's through, like, my relationships or the work that I do. And so, yeah, just being a woman for me is kind of acknowledging that I'm really sensitive and I care about others and I have a lot of empathy and compassion. And it's important for that to, like, translate in the people that I interact with.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like women are allowed to be very empathetic and emotional and without the negative connotations of that word. And I also identify with those aspects. I feel my feelings and I think that's a huge strength. And I enjoy how that helps enrich my relationships with people and form a lot of varying types of relationships. And I think that that's a huge part about being a woman for me.
I really love that, what both of you guys said. For me, I'm not really sure what being a woman means to me either, Brynna. Like, I struggled with that, but when I think about how my experiences as a woman have shaped me, I really think about experiences that women share, like, that are pretty universal. And for me, I kind of think of all those, like, really annoying and, like, patronizing moments that you go through every single day. And I've noticed in my life and in my relationships a lot of the time those moments are really met with, like, kindness and care and humor from other women. And I think it's so powerful that, like, even with people you don't know, with women you don't know, you kind of, like, share a look or, like, share that experience, and you're able to kind of reflect on those moments with, like, laughter and humor and not have to, like, carry the weight of the anger that you might feel as a result of those things that we all go through every single day. And so, yeah, for me, I think just my shared experiences, like, amongst women, are so powerful and really shape me and that identity.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love everything that you're saying, and I definitely resonate with what all of you have said. And I think that it speaks to this quotation that comes to mind, that is, if you have a community of women in your life, cherish it. And if you don't have a community of women in your life, find one, because there's something so special about sharing in the collective experience that it means to be a woman and everything that comes along with it, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I started this woman's circle 2 years ago with some friends, and it's now grown to include other people. And it started in my friend's backyard and has blossomed into, you know, Zoom chats talking about relationships and love and all things. And we meet around once a month, and it's been the most profound experience, because I get to just laugh and cry and talk with all of these women and just like share in the experience of what it means to be a woman with these people. And it's brought so much joy and light to my life. So there's something so special about talking about your feelings with other women. I think for me, being a woman means being proud and confident in who I am and really challenging the patriarchal and heteronormative beliefs and stereotypes around what it means to be a woman, and just really stepping into my own truth and what it means for me to identify as a woman, whether that's like leaning into the stereotype of being nurturing and being motherly and being sensitive because I want to, or like going out and getting dirty in the backcountry and like going on a backcountry hiking trip and hanging out, you know, in the dirt and the water with my friends and having a good time. I think both those things, like for me, represent what it means to be a woman and why I'm so proud to be who I am. So going off of that, who are the women in your life that inspire you on both a personal and professional level?
On a personal level, definitely my sister. And I have about a 15-second timer on before I start crying if I talk about it, which she knows. So it'll be funny when she listens to this and I make her cry. She is definitely the most empathetic person. She can hear other people's plights and stories and handle them with such grace and guide people through anything that they're going through. And coming from somebody, she has the worst luck in the world out of any, but like crazy things happen to her. Like this, like old World War II bomb was found under her apartment in Toronto, and they had to like evacuate because somebody had like kept it as a souvenir. Like weird things happen to her all the time. And throughout that, she has never failed to be so supportive of me, like regardless of what she's going through, she's there and empathetic. And yeah, and this is where the tearing starts. So I'll switch to professional. Jane Goodall, I think I'm sure that's similar for all of us. She's just such a beacon in this environmental landscape. But the fact that in that time to travel to such an unfamiliar place, make it your own and make science your own when she didn't have a science background at the time, and just accomplish so much. And she must have been so sure of herself. And side note, her mom also inspires me because she needed a chaperone way back when, and her mom joined her, which is incredible. Like, I don't think her mom would have gone otherwise, and she just dropped her life to support her daughter. And I think that's a level of sacrifice that mothers know, and I find that really inspiring. Jane Goodall, for sure. She's just incredible.
There are so many women that I look up to, and I might not remember them when I'm asked, but I think about them in my day-to-day life. But I think on a personal level, I don't have any siblings, but I have a close friend of mine, and her name is Sydney, and I became friends with her in my last year of high school, even though we went to school together for a few years before. And I kind of went through like weird phases where I never really found kind of people that accepted me, and I never really found true friends until I met Sydney and our other friend, Nicola. And then right before we were going to university, Sydney got diagnosed with this very rare disease called EDS, and it stands for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's very rare, and it's categorized in different types, and she has type 3, which means stretchy ligament syndrome, but it just means that like the cartilage in her body starts to degrade over time. But it got like really progressive really quickly. So she actually can't, she hasn't been able to drink water for years. Like she can't actually eat or drink out of her esophagus. She gets fed through a feeding tube. She's had pulmonary embolisms. She's lived in a hospital for like over a year straight, like a year and a half. She wasn't allowed to leave. And ever since like probably 2014, I think 2014, 2013 or 2014, like she hasn't been able to go back to school. So it's just been her trying to like survive. But like the reason why I mention her is because she has never failed to like stay the bubbly, bright, happy person that she always was. She's so incredibly confident and like sure of herself. And obviously she needs to take time. You know, she deals with a lot of like mental health issues as anyone would in that situation, but she's like still puts on a smiling face for everybody. And like, she still perseveres and she's just very true to herself. And so I think I've always admired her resilience regardless of all of the health scares she's been through. And so I hold our friendship like really dear to my heart, and it's too bad that I live in BC because we're so far away. But that's definitely like a personal role model I have in my life.
My like professional ones are also kind of personal. Like they're like instructors that I had in college that are just doing like really amazing things outside of just instructing and working on some really cool research projects. One particular one is a wolverine maternal den mapping project that like I got to, yeah, it's super cool. So this one instructor was, yeah, working on that, and I got to do like some of like the like citizen science outreach stuff for that back when I was in college, which was amazing and just like so cool to work with people who are like doing that kind of research. And it's really like being done in a way that hasn't been done before by like utilizing citizen science.
What is citizen science really quickly, just because I don't think I know?
Yeah, citizen science is basically like, well, like it's kind of hard to describe because I think that people use it in like many different forms, but it's basically just like utilizing like the general public to help you like advance your research or your goal or something. So in this case, we were like asking people to record any sightings of potential wolverine tracks or wolverines, which are like, they're super elusive creatures and they do not like humans. So like, it was really impressive. We got like almost 200 responses.
Oh, this kind of reminds me of like Swim, Drink, Fish, where they ask citizens to talk about the water quality if they visit a beach. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's a scientist kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and like,
I love that.
It's a nice way of doing things because like everyone kind of gets to feel involved. And I think that like when you involve more people, there's like more chances of like people backing up the results.
I love wolverines. They're such crazy animals.
Yeah. They're like,
I feel like we should have a whole separate episode on this.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you, Emily. I've had a few professors who have really inspired me professionally, especially my discipline is just like men everywhere who like want their opinion heard 24/7. So sometimes that's hard to navigate as like a young woman. And I had this one prof and she was such a badass and she just was very like no nonsense and like didn't take anyone's bullshit, which I really loved. And she wrote an economics book on sex and marriage and then used it as her textbook in her class. And the class was women in the economy. And it was kind of like just about quantifying the role women provide to society and like all these kind of weird things like that you would never think about through that lens. And she was kind of the reason that I progressed in this field. And I remember we like had coffee together once and she was telling me about how in her master's she would go to the local strip club and be like studying while she was drinking Long Island iced teas at local strip club. I won't say her name in case that's an inappropriate story, but she was just like so hilarious and amazing. But yeah, I miss her every day. But anyways, I also just have so many women in my life that I'm close to that inspire me all the time, and they're just like so unapologetically themselves, whether that means they're like super smart or really caring or really emotional or passionate about something or athletic or like some combination of those things. And I think the main like common denominator between all of my friends is that they're like strong females. Like it doesn't matter what their thing is, like they're just unapologetically that thing or many of those things. And I think that's so inspirational and amazing. And I am just like constantly inspired. And then also I have three siblings and there's a lot of personalities and people could definitely like just battle each other until kingdom come. And I feel like my mom is such a peacekeeper and she's just like so amazing at like bringing us all together and keeping us all together, even when she's been going through it. And it's amazing. Like the resilience of women is just something that never ceases to amaze me.
I love that you just said that. I was going to actually use that word to describe the woman in my life as well, too. It's like the first thing that comes to mind is resilience. I come from a really big family on my dad's side. So my grandmother, my baba in Ukrainian, who actually just passed away a couple months ago, she had 15 children. My dad is from a family of 15. And then they had 30 kids amongst themselves and then 33 more. So we are a really big family. And a lot of those, the people within my family are women. And it's been just the most like thrilling experience of my life to grow up with all of these aunts and uncles and second cousins and third cousins that are women and that just lead such inspiring lives, whether it's like traveling all across the country or starting a family of like nine themselves. They all just do such amazing things. And I'm so inspired by all of them and by my baba as well, who started this generation of Yonis, which is amazing. And then also my grandmother on my Murray side, my mom's side as well, is just the most nurturing and loving woman. So she definitely inspires me as well. And I could definitely get emotional as well, Jess, talking about my mom and my sisters. I'm the middle child. So I have an older sister named Jessica and a younger sister named Talia. And yeah, they're everything to me. They inspire me on a daily basis. Jess is the biggest go-getter that I know. She doesn't take shit from anybody. She goes after her dreams. She goes after what she wants. And Tal, I mean, even though she's younger than me, she's 17, she's always inspiring me. She's the most creative person I know. She's so smart, just curious about everything, wants to know everything about everybody and everything about the world, and has so many dreams for her future, has the biggest life plan, and yeah, just incredible. So yeah, it's just amazing, like, to be surrounded by such resilient and strong and inspiring and powerful and beautiful women, because it inspires me. It makes me feel better. It makes me do better. It makes me a better woman. And I can't wait to grow old side by side next to all the women in my life. So yeah, it's just an amazing experience. The theme for this year's International Women's Day on March 8th is Choose to Challenge. So I have a bit of a bigger question here, but how do you think that we can better choose to challenge and striving for gender equality on a daily basis?
I think in the small moments, there's a lot to be gained. And I think as women, we are subconsciously taught and we are so good at letting those small battles go and dealing with the crap that comes with being a woman day to day and the little injustices and remarks. But I think challenging those moments and finding the confidence to, no matter where you are in the workplace, in public, to call them out and, or call the people in and show them why what they did was wrong or correct their behavior as needed. I think there's a lot to be gained from that. I think those little injustices take quite a toll on our lives overall. So putting an end to that would be amazing.
I think to kind of like also jump in on what you said. I think to strive for gender equality, you definitely want to highlight the work and the voices of females, of non-binary individuals, of people from the LGBTQ community in the work and the platforms that you're given. I'm half Japanese and like half kind of white on my dad's side. But, and so even with that being said, like, I know I'm a visible minority, but I still feel really privileged in the way that I was brought up. And so I think through my work, I realize that you have to make more of a conscious effort to highlight those voices and to highlight those that are naturally left behind, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be like that. But I think, yeah, what you said, Jess, having those difficult conversations, if you feel like there's an injustice or something isn't fair, or people are being spoken about in an in not a good way, I think definitely having those small conversations makes really big impacts. And then as well, just making more of an effort to include those communities in the work that you do, in the relationships you have, and the opportunities that you're given. I think that's kind of one big step we can do to help that problem.
I like what you said, Brenna, about like including, you know, those minorities in the conversation, because like, so one of my sisters is trans, and like, I think that like, it's often like trans people are often left, trans folks are often left behind in even just like in our language and in the way that we like introduce ourselves and like conduct ourselves on a day-to-day basis. And I think this kind of goes with what you were saying as well, Jess, and just like trying to include more of trying to create a more inclusive space for everyone to live in, no matter how they identify in the world, is kind of a challenge that I'm trying to hold myself to as well as other people.
I just want to like quickly step in. I think there also just needs to be more education on it. I'm so timid to talk about it because I don't want to offend anyone, because I don't know if I said something insensitive. And so I think even taking the time for myself to like to unlearn, to take some time for some unlearning and to like research the proper way to respectfully include them better, I think there has to be that. And then also just like, yeah, more awareness and education on it, because definitely I feel like they are left behind in conversations.
Absolutely. I actually was gonna say kind of a similar thing, and just touching on what you just said, Brenna, like for instance, today on Instagram, I saw this like educational post, and this I tried to find it for this podcast because I thought it was so interesting, but it was one of those things that got lost in my feed. But it was this discussion on the term women with the spelling X in the middle, and it was actually talking about how sometimes even though that's intended to be more inclusive, it's actually exclusive in the sense that like these different people are identifying as women, and when you have to qualify it with an X, like does that make them less of a woman, and like is that fair? And that was something that I learned today. Like I didn't really know that. Yes, Jessica knows exactly who I'm talking about. That Instagram post, I was gonna say that account too, we should cut that later, but yeah, like I didn't know that, and I want to be as inclusive as possible, and like I was just constantly learning how to like bring those people with us. And as a follow-up to what everyone said, like we've kind of spoken about how lucky we've been and how touched we've been in like sharing this common experience with women and experiencing that solidarity together. And I think it's so important to make sure that anyone who identifies as a woman is included in that shared experience. And I want to do my best to make sure that I'm extending those same privileges that I have in having those shared experiences with people who might get left behind.
I really appreciated that post. It was by Blair Imani. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but find her on Instagram and find that post because it's really insightful. I think for me, choosing to challenge resonates a lot with what all of you said, but I think just to generalize, I think, yeah, as I said, for me, it's just about challenging the patriarchy because, yeah, I don't want to live underneath that system anymore of beliefs. I don't want to live underneath that system of values and stereotypes. And I don't agree with, you know, forcing women into a box and telling them that they have to behave in a certain way. Like, I think that women should be whoever they want to be and should be able to behave in any way that they want to. And, you know, whether or not society agrees with it or not, you know, we should just be able to be who we are, no questions asked. And I was reading this really interesting post this morning, actually, on ecofeminism and how, and the ties between women and the destruction of nature, and how we have to challenge the patriarchy in order to achieve sustainability as well. And there was this individual who actually commented on the post, who goes by queer and then Q-U-E-C-H-U-A. I just didn't want to pronounce it wrong, so you can look them up on Instagram. And they said, "Yes, this is amazing. Also, it's critical to note that feminism doesn't include trans, non-binary, and other genders marginalized and oppressed by the patriarchy, then it isn't feminism. Or rather, is trans exclusionary radical feminism, so aka TERF. And so I think it's really important, as they noted, to say that, you know, feminism that doesn't include like everybody who, you know, identifies as woman isn't really feminism. And it's really important to make that distinction. And I think we have to continue to like choose to challenge to make sure that everybody's included within the definition of what it means to be woman.
I always find that concept so interesting, the ties between feminism and conservation, so ecofeminism, and how it all stems from this entitlement to treat other people and the world at large as you want, and how that's all part of the patriarchy. And yeah, I think that is really interesting point. I'm always so interested in those posts about that.
I think I was just going to say, like, I'm really glad you brought up that definition of feminism and adding that it doesn't just include people that identify as women, because I think that's what stopped me from saying I'm a feminist, or for me, like, expressing my support for feminism, just because I never wanted it to feel exclusive or me being like, well, women are like the best thing ever. But I think it's about like lifting up everybody that's been marginalized. So feminism doesn't necessarily include saying men are amazing because they already have that. But yeah, no, I think it's definitely important for those non-binary, for those trans folks, LGBTQ identifying individuals. We're all in this movement together. It's about lifting everybody up that was naturally left behind. And I think a really interesting topic is just like climate and the environmental sector is inherently exclusive accidentally. And like, what I mean by that is like, I think we see, you know, a lot of women in this space, which is amazing, but it's also very, very white, very male dominated in terms of like who sits on the board, who runs the company. And so I think especially in our movement, you know, our work is about lifting up marginalized communities and marginalized populations. And we also want to see their faces in powerful positions. And I don't really know how you do that, but I just know that that's a need.
Totally. I think that begins with like amplifying the voices and stories and lived experiences of those individuals. And just, yeah, as you're saying, Brenna, like allowing for almost like, I don't know how to say this properly, almost just like making it more normal to see a diversity of people within positions of power, whether that's women, whether that's Indigenous women, whether that's Black women, whether that's non-binary individuals, whether that's trans women, because ultimately that is what our society looks like. That is the picture of our society. Our society is not just defined by the white male. And so, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. So let's talk about achievements really quickly, because I want to celebrate all of you. So what did you achieve this week, or what are you proud of this week that comes to mind?
Jackie's face.
I'm trying to think of things because I don't know. It's so easy to be like, I'm a piece of shit. I didn't do anything. But
that's what pops into my mind right now about myself.
Okay, but it can be something as simple as like eating. I ate this.
No, thing. Yeah. Okay, I have a thing. Okay. I forced myself to write something down because I foresaw this happening to me. But yeah, so this morning, for instance, I got up early at 6 and I forced myself to go to yoga before I started work, because I knew that it would make me feel better, even though when I was lying in bed this morning, I like really hated myself for signing up. But yeah, in general, I just think like women are such caretakers and do such a good job of making sure everyone else's needs are met. And I know for the women in my life, I'm always trying to encourage them to create space for themselves and make sure they're meeting their own needs. And I guess I kind of did that for myself today.
Yes. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
I also did yoga today.
So we're getting after it.
Yeah. And I love too that like every time I open up my Yoga with Adrienne video, because I'm doing her 30-day like breathe yoga challenge, as you guys know, she'll say like at some point during the video, and just take a deep breath and be proud that you showed up to the mat today. And I was like, yes, I am proud. Like it was a struggle to get here, but I'm here, like on this mat doing this yoga class, like, because totally. I don't know how to do it, you know, and it's hard. Yeah, I think for me, I had an interview this week that I was really proud of. I've been, Brennan knows about this, I've been, you know, long awaiting an interview from this organization that I really want to work for, called Threading Change. And I was just really proud of my accomplishment, regardless of if I get the job or not. I was just happy to be there, you know, talking to the founder and another one of the team members about, you know, my passion around the role in sustainable fashion. And I'm proud of myself regardless of the outcome. So that's what I would say.
It's amazing.
Congrats,
yeah, we're keeping that plug in the podcast. I'm going to accidentally email it to them.
Yeah, I'll just be like, by the way, Mikhail talked about this.
Whoops, sorry. Click to 25 minutes in. No, that's a really good accomplishment. I think I was going to like talk about things that I accomplished work and career wise, but I also am telling myself to get away out of this like productivity way of thinking. And I think for me, I actually went through kind of an emotional hurdle, but in a positive way. I think I was like interacting with my partner and I was feeling kind of left behind in terms of, I just felt that our communication and our affection was really lacking. And so I think immediately I was getting a lot of anxiety about it. This is like really personal, but I was getting really anxious about it and like really stressed out. And I was like trying to soothe myself, being like, okay, like it's fine. Like let's paint, or like, you know what, we're going to journal, or like, we're going to listen to this podcast and talk about how to positively frame things and how you can like overcome it kind of thing. And I was trying for like 10 days for a long time, and it went well sometimes and then it didn't. And finally I was like, okay, I need to talk to my therapist about it because something's not sticking and something's not clicking. And I had this like really big breakthrough with him where I thought that since I had devoted so much time to like my emotional intelligence / like vulnerability that I would be able to figure it out. But he was like, Brenna, you're not letting yourself feel with your heart. You're just thinking through everything with your head. How do you actually feel with this situation? Like, how did it make you feel? And I was like, well, it made me feel really rejected. And like, I got really more in depth into those feelings. I was like, I feel really vulnerable. I feel really hurt kind of thing. And he just made me sit with those emotions, which was incredibly awkward and uncomfortable because I was just staring at this man through my Zoom. He's like, okay, just, yeah. And I was like, this is so weird. But like finally something clicked where I was like, oh, I don't actually let myself feel because I think that I'm weak by acknowledging my feelings and that I have to immediately get over them. And if you look at it, like I tried to get over it for 10 days. So that was just kind of like me sitting in this weird limbo. And so I think like just a big breakthrough for me was just getting some self-acceptance to be like, you can feel however you feel. It's totally valid and you're allowed to sit with it because it won't ever last forever. But by giving yourself that space, you are acknowledging your experience and then you're able to use your head and like move past it or work through it after, if that makes sense. So I think for me, it was more of like an emotional accomplishment this week.
That's beautiful.
Huge.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thanks. Brene Brown just did an episode on her Dare to Lead podcast with this woman who researches toxic positivity. I recommend it. It was like exactly what I needed because I was like drowning myself in toxic positivity. So I really recommend it.
Toxic positivity is like such a thing.
And so like, real.
There's another really good podcast. I think it's called Made In. They have a good episode about toxic positivity too. If you haven't listened to it, you should.
Toss that over. Send that, please. I'm listening to it.
I will.
Cool.
I feel like, I don't know if I have like anything, like any achievements or like anything, but like one thing that I did this week that was nice was just like reaching out to some friends that I've been like meaning to like reach out to you for like a long time to like make plans outside. just
we're not gonna hunt you down, it's fine.
And I just like did that, and it like actually was like so nice to like just like, I don't know, that's my little accomplishment, was finally reaching out.
Yeah, that makes such a big impact on people. I think mine this week was definitely the podcast. I put a lot of work into the podcast this week, and it felt so good and so fulfilling, and I haven't been getting that feeling from work as much. So it's really nice to have this in my off time. And holy smokes, I'm so excited about all the episodes. It feels good.
That's amazing. I love all these accomplishments. I feel like we have such a diversity of accomplishments going on this week, like emotional, Jackie going to yoga, getting up early. That's hard. Emily reaching out. That can also be really hard during the pandemic as well too. And yeah, personal, professional. I love it. Emotional. I love it. Okay. Does anybody have any book recommendations or podcasts, or, well, we had already mentioned a few podcasts, but or Instagram accounts or resources that they really want to shout out, that are led by women, that you want other people to know about?
I know we've talked about this before, but I cannot stress enough how much everybody needs to read Braiding Sweetgrass. It's been about 3 episodes so far. It is a life-changing book. If you're interested in this podcast, you will be interested in the book. It is spectacular. It just brought the magic to science. Like, it was such a link between how special the world is and how magical you feel when you're a kid and you're like, how are these wonders happening? And then I found I kind of lost that going through an undergraduate degree in science, and you figure out like this molecule goes through this pathway and that's why this happens. You're like, oh, I thought it was magic. And it brings that back. Oh, it's just really spectacular. That's my recommendation again.
I just want to highlight that you said it brings magic to science. I think that needs to be like a slogan somewhere. You phrase that perfectly.
That'll just be the name of this episode, even though it has nothing to do with magic and science. People be like,
feminism. Didn't think about that one, did you? I had to get you to listen.
So now that you're here, and it's like one of those like, you know.
Yeah.
I think one podcast that I've been listening to lately, and I actually just ordered the book from the person who hosts the podcast, but it's called The Fuck It Diet. Like, sorry, you're gonna have to bleep that, but that's just literally the name of the book. And it's like basically like anti-diet culture, which like, yeah, I've been really getting into like the anti-diet culture like content lately, because that shit plays a very big toll on, I feel like, especially women's mental health, like most people's mental health, but like, I feel like it is like extra heavy on women. And this woman who hosts the podcast is just like hilarious. And like, I can't wait to read the book. Cause I think it'll just be funny and like a light way of looking at how fucked up diet culture is.
Yeah, I feel like you opened a can of worms talking about female bodies and diet culture, but we're not going to talk about that because I also have to go to my workout class. But okay, so a really interesting interview. It wasn't life-changing, but it was just it does poke out to me where David Letterman interviewed Lizzo. It's on Netflix under like David Letterman's show. And I just really appreciated getting to know Lizzo a little bit more. She's very, speaking of bodies, like she's incredibly body positive. She's incredibly confident in her body and the way it looks. And like, we don't need to associate working out with you care about the way your body looks. It should be more from a health perspective. And like, Lizzo works out because, yeah, guess what? Like, it's good for you to do. She eats her greens, you know what I mean? And it just was really empowering listening to her because she's a very confident person and she believes in herself regardless of the adversity. So that was cool. But yeah, I always mention Brené Brown's podcast, but Unlocking Us and then Dare to Lead, they are really great ones. And then also just something new that I learned from school. There's this Indigenous writer. Her name's Leanne Beta Samosake. I think I butchered that. Simpson. So like Leanne Simpson. And she wrote a book called As We Have Always Done, Indigenous Freedom Through Radical Resistance. And just hearing her talk about the book and what she writes about it sounds so incredible. She's a really amazing storyteller. She wrote 4 short stories and like presented it at this Vancouver conference. And I just watched it for school, but it was really, really touching. And I'll probably link it in our show notes.
Brené, I've seen that episode with Lizzo. So good. I like relate to that so deeply, that like especially exercising to be healthy and to be able to like live your life and experience joy and whatever that looks like for you. Like, I just love that. But yeah, to add on to this list, I have this account on Instagram that I follow. Her name is Mona Chalabi, I believe. Not sure if I pronounce that right. But basically she does data visualization, which sounds like not as thrilling, but she does these really beautiful illustrations and she illustrates data through that way. And it's just constantly touching on like inequality and injustice in our society. And she just like expresses that through hard data and these beautiful illustrations. And I think it's so wonderful to learn through that through my Instagram feed. And another one that I actually just saw yesterday, there's this movie on Netflix. I think it just came out and it's called Moxie. I don't know if anyone's heard of it or seen it. It's so good. It's just about this like teenager who kind of like comes to term with her like feminist revolution, or feminist being an inclusive, the most inclusive version of that term, in her high school. And it's like the best movie ever and everyone should watch it.
That's the one with Amy Poehler, right?
Yeah, Amy Poehler's the mom and she also produced it, I think. And it's so hilarious. And like those moments that I was talking about before that are just so annoying, but turn out to be so hilarious. Like she does them perfectly in that movie.
Yeah, I really want to see that movie. I didn't know it was out already. Okay.
I think it maybe came out like yesterday and I'm just apparently really on top of Netflix releases.
Just that's awesome. Like finish Netflix and waiting for more basically at this point.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of a reality check for me.
I'm gonna watch that tonight actually. I was planning to have a digital deload, so I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, it sounds so good.
I think for me, there's a few people that I follow on Instagram who I'd really like to shout out. So the first one, her name is Brianna Media, and she is this bad ass, and I use that word heavily, woman, newly divorced woman, and she's proud of it, who runs around in the desert like she owns the place with her 3 dogs. And she's a writer as well. She's currently writing and actually in the editing process of her first book. And so she not only really inspires me with the way she leads her life, but also she really inspires me with her writing and her words. And yeah, she's someone who I would recommend to everybody to follow if you're just looking for a woman who is just wild and free and takes no shit from anybody. She's definitely a huge inspiration for me. Another one is Emily Harrington. She is a rock climber, professional rock climber with the North Face, and I'm completely obsessed with her. I was actually in a workshop with her through She Sends, which is this climbing collective
just like she was speaking on a Zoom and like I jumped in because it was this workshop that she was running and I was like face to face with her like through Zoom in a gallery and I was like, it's Emily Harrington, like this is the closest I will get in my life. And she has the dog named Kat, and then everybody wanted to see her dog named Kat, so she brought Kat into the screen and I was freaking out because I've seen her cat or her dog all over her Instagram. I was like just freaking out. So yeah, she's a huge inspiration for me. Her TED talk on embracing fear is amazing. And she's also engaged to Adrian Ballinger, who's a professional mountain climber as well. And he's climbed Everest a million times, not a million, but like eight times. And he's amazing. He's a man though, so we're not talking about that. And then I would also say Montana Lower. She is an engineer and she runs a not-for-profit called Murals for Change. And she's focused on climate advocacy through the means of art. And yeah, she actually also recently started her own skincare line. So she's just an incredible person to follow as well too. And then I think another one for me as well would be Rupi Kaur, because I am a poet and Rupi went to the same university as I did and, you know, represent University of Waterloo and, you know, immediately went out of university, studied something completely different to poetry, self-published, and it's just blown up. And, you know, she's a huge inspiration for me as well. So that's definitely somebody who I'd recommend that people follow because her writing is incredible. And then I think a music influence for me is Maggie Rogers and Florence and the Machine. Would recommend those two, also badass, heavily using that word, female artists, because they're incredible. Okay, let's move on to the next question quickly. What does the future of the gender equality movement look like to you, specifically within the environmental movement? Brenna, do you want to start?
I think it just looks like more of the faces that are in this world. We need to see more of our faces mirrored in this movement because climate change isn't just the people that study environmental science. Climate change impacts literally everyone, no matter what sector you're in. And so we need to be able to see our faces reflected in the policy, reflected in the message, because right now it's relatively like chic, white, like young, active, green smoothie drinking people, which is like so not indicative of our population. And so I think it's just seeing more of our faces just reflected in the movement.
I love that. I kind of like to think about it in a similar way, where when I consider the future of the gender equality movement, I like just want it to be the future without having to qualify that it's gender related or any of these other things. And like I've heard, I think Pharrell said this, to be honest, and he was saying like Black History Month is such a bizarre concept in the sense that it's like just history, you know. And I think that going forward, hopefully our society can like emulate all of those intersectionalities and diversities without always having to have that qualifier, because that's like what we are.
I really agree with what you just said, Jackie, and to go off that, I think that while we do have a month to solely celebrate women that is, you know, defined within our year, and we have a day, you know, March 8th, International Women's Day, that's a day completely dedicated to celebrating women. I think that International Women's Day is every day, should be every single day of the year. We shouldn't just be celebrating women's accomplishments on one day of the year.
Yeah, I see it heavily tied to equality in general, like all of you have been saying. And I think more listening to women, to indigenous people who have been taking care of this land since the dawn of time. And yes, centering it or shifting the focus away from this like whitewashed green movement and listening to the other perspectives that are have a bit more wisdom to them, I think, in this movement.
Totally. So I think that wraps up our discussion for today. yeah, thanks for everything that you guys all said. I'm really inspired by all of you. I definitely look up to all of you in your respective areas, and I'm really grateful to be here, you know, learning from all of you and doing this podcast together, and to be able to celebrate you today and on International Women's Day and every single day as well. So, you know, thank you for this opportunity.
This was really nice.
I'm gonna start crying. That was so nice.
So thanks everyone for tuning in with us and staying with us in this journey where we just navigate what it means to be a woman and what that looks like. We hope that you enjoyed this discussion. And honestly, I just want us all to remember that if we empower ourselves, our communities, we can honestly empower the world. If we lift more people up, we'll be able to see long-lasting and meaningful change. As cheesy as it sounds, I firmly believe that. Stay tuned for more and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at 10 Minutes to Change Podcast, and feel free to reach out to us to share any thoughts you had on this episode or things that you want to hear more of. Thanks for listening. Bye.